You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are with Reverend Connie Habash now. This is a repeat. It's been, and we're going to talk about her book, Awakening from Anxiety. And how long has your book been out, Connie?
It just came out in August.
That's fantastic. And are you excited?
Oh, absolutely. It's been wonderful to be able to share something with people that they can take home and it makes a difference in their lives.
And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work and why you created this book?
Yes. Well, I've been a psychotherapist for about 25 years, and I've also been teaching yoga and meditation for that long. And this has been a synthesis of all of that work with my students and clients over the last couple of decades, and my own work in my life to overcome stress and anxiety. I put it all kind of together into a book, and I realized that most of my clients are dealing with anxiety, stress, overwhelm, worry. So that was the area that I focused on. But I feel that what I've laid out in the book can work with almost any kind of emotion.
How has anxiety affected your life? How did you recognize that you had anxiety in your life?
Well, I think I didn't notice it at first. You know, when I was young, as a kid growing up, I was very much of a perfectionist. I expected myself to exceed in everything I did, and when I didn't, I would kind of quit or avoid it and would get really frustrated with myself if I didn't do well right away in a subject in school. But I didn't notice it as anxiety for a number of years. It was just kind of under the radar, always stressing me out a little bit. But what really triggered it was early in this century, I gave birth to my daughter. And I think it was both the trauma of the birth process itself and also the realization of, oh my gosh, what a huge responsibility I have now toward this being that I'm holding in my arms, that I started to develop more anxiety about things. I was very cautious about her with all kinds of things. And I also developed a fear of flying. So a lot of what I have in the book, I actually talk about some of my fear of flying issues in there, but a lot of the practices in the book are things that I've worked with over the years for myself as well to help to return to that place of calm and ease and trusting in the universe.
Mm-hmm. And the fear of flying, you flew before, so it just creeped in?
Yeah, so, you know, I had flown lots. I think I had counted when this fear of flying thing came up for me. Gosh, you know, I've flown over 60 times in my life. It's not like I haven't flown enough. And I did get uncomfortable in turbulence before, but it wasn't to the level of this, where my palms would break out in a cold sweat, and my heart would be racing, and my breath would get short, you know, which is a lot of the kind of symptoms that you would see when you have anxiety. And my thoughts would be obsessing around the turbulence and what could happen. And one of the things that really made a big difference for me was here where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and at San Francisco International Airport, they have a fear of flying clinic that is amazing. And so I took that course to help me get through being able to fly because I needed to. My mother was on the other side of the country from me, and she was elderly, and I needed to care for her. But part of what I realized in working with some of those practices was that they didn't quite get to the root of things.
Mm-hmm.
That part of it was that I wasn't really putting my trust in something bigger than me. And I wasn't really being fully present in the moment. So a lot of times when we're feeling anxiety, we're not really here where we are right now. We are projecting forward to things to worry about in the future, what could happen. Or we're going back and remembering a time when it was scary or upsetting in the past. And so learning to become really present here and now in my body helps shift me out of that anxiety mindset and also helps shift me out of thinking, because thinking perpetuates anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And you've been walking this spiritual path for many, many years then. And was it a challenge for the anxiety to come up when you had so many wonderful practices around in your life?
Well, that's part of what I wrote the book for, because, you know, I've been a yoga teacher and practitioner for since 1991, I've meditated, I do breath work, all of these things, you know, chanting, prayer, all the things that we do to connect to something bigger than us and to try and calm us. And I found that they work for a while. You know, I feel nice and relaxed at the end of my yoga practice. But then an hour or two later, the stress and the worry and anxiety all come back in. And so I wrote this book especially for people who are like, feel like, gosh, I'm doing all these things. I'm doing the right things to try to calm my anxiety. And it's not quite getting at the root. And the root, as I mentioned, is really our thought processes. So a lot of times, a client may come to me and say, well, I'm feeling really anxious. And so I ask them, well, what does that feel like? What are you experiencing in your body right now when you feel anxious? And they say, well, I feel kind of trapped and like I'm stuck and I can't get out of this situation and it's just getting worse. And you may notice that all of that is more thoughts. It's not really any physical experience in the body. So emotions are not thoughts. They're different than thoughts. Thoughts can perpetuate emotion and emotion can generate more thoughts. But real emotion is a visceral, physical experience. And so when I can help people recognize, okay, they're in thinking mind right now, thinking tends to just perpetuate and continue on the anxiety process. Let's come back to being present here in the body. And this is where my yoga skills, my meditation skills really come in handy, is helping people feel, well, what is the physical sensation you're experiencing right now? And it might be, okay, I'm feeling my heart beating really fast. And so I have them sit with that rather than telling a story about it. So whenever we get into telling a story, that's more thinking, right? So we could tell a story about our heart beating fast, like, oh my gosh, my heart's beating really fast, and that means I'm getting anxious. It might get worse, and if it gets worse, I might have a panic attack. And you can see how the thoughts start building on one another, and instead we come back to, what is it like right now, my heartbeat, okay, and I feel it beating in my chest, and what else am I feeling? Well, I'm feeling kind of hot, or I'm feeling cold, and, you know, my breath is, like, a little short, so I'm going to work with my breath and really stay with the physical sensation. And what happens there, and this actually can happen even in a yoga pose with a physical sensation, like if there's tension in your calf muscle, for example, if you stay with it gently, with awareness long enough, it tends to ease up, and so does the emotion. So it's like a wave where it's building for a while. It might be getting a little more intense for a while. And if we stay with it with a compassionate witness to it, not getting into telling a story about it, it will go through the cycle like a wave where it builds and it crashes, and that's like the most intense part. But then it starts to recede and calm down. And when I can take clients or students through that process and they get to experience like, oh, gosh, I was able to stay with that and now I'm feeling calm again, they tend to have clarity. They tend to see like the bigger picture of what's going on and feel more calm and ease, and they feel empowered the next time that anxiety or stress arises for them. Okay, I remember what to do. I can do this now. And that's much more empowering than, let's just try and make the anxiety go away, and then maybe we make it go away temporarily, but then it comes back again, and we think we've done something wrong.
So, Connie, what you're really, really saying is that we can't think our way out of anxiety at all.
You're absolutely right. Thinking is usually not going to help us. So I try and shift people out of the thinking into feeling and being present right here in this moment as it is in our body, with a quiet mind and an open heart.
And all feelings are welcome? We need to feel it all then?
Yes. My approach is welcome it in. Now, that might sound a little overwhelming, right? Well, not all feelings are going to come at the same time. We stay in the present moment, and we welcome what the experience is. And one of my phrases that I live by, sayings that I live by in my life, and I write about this in one of the chapters, the chapter on surrender in the book, is trust the process. If something is arising for you, there's a reason, there's a higher purpose, there's a gift in it, you might even say. it's trying to bring a message to you. And with anxiety, my experience has always been that anxiety is bringing something to my awareness to open me up to greater possibilities. So maybe it's revealing. This is where I always stop myself. And anxiety arises and I go, oh, I don't want to go any further. And maybe now I can look at the anxiety saying, hey, do you want to keep doing that? Do you want to keep limiting yourself here? Or are you going to work with me now and feel me and breathe through me and see what's on the other side? And that's really empowering and expansive for people.
Wow. Is there any other mistakes we make trying to move away from anxiety other than keeping it in our heads?
Yes. So in the book, I actually talk about the six spiritual mistakes. I hyphenate miss and takes because it's kind of like, I liken it to when, you know, when people are filming a movie and they have take one. And, you know, a lot of times actors don't get it right on the first take. They might have to have three takes or even 16 takes. So sometimes we have an understanding of something spiritually, say that we want to be compassionate toward people. I think that's pretty much a universal spiritual principle, to be compassionate towards others. But we may have a little misunderstanding about what that actually means. So sometimes people believe, and this is one of the six spiritual mistakes in the book, that we should, in order to be compassionate, we should feel their pain. We should feel their pain with them. I call this feeling the pain of the world. You know, you hear about the fires that happened in California or some other disaster somewhere, and now we're feeling the pain of all those people who lost their homes or lost loved ones. And that's not really compassion, because we end up sort of falling apart and feeling that same anxiety and that same sorrow. Compassion really is where we're coming from our center and from understanding and care and meeting it, not in taking it all in inside of us, but meeting it, I like to say, at the edge of our awareness and seeing how we can be of service. Because if you think about first responders, you know, they are compassionate. That's why they do what they do. They care about helping others and other beings, but they can't afford to take on everybody's feelings. If they did, they'd be a bucket of mess before they could even help someone get out of a burning house, right? Mm-hmm. So they really stay in their center. They're meeting that situation just outside of themselves so that they can be of service, and then caring for their feelings without having to feel them all through their body. That's how they're able to do what they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't last, right, as first responders. Mm-hmm. So we don't... To be compassionate people, you know, as a spiritual person or just a caring person or a highly sensitive person, I talk about them in my book, we don't have to feel everyone else's feelings.
And a lot of people that seek the spiritual path are empaths.
Yes, exactly. And empaths naturally pick up on other people's feelings and energy. They can just, you know, they know when someone else is sad or when someone else is angry. And so what I work on in the book with people, because that can really create anxiety for you if you're walking around and you can pick up on other people's feelings and maybe not even know, you know, you think maybe, am I angry all of a sudden for some reason? Not realize that, okay, this is someone else's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be really anxiety provoking. It can really cause you to feel agitated. So in the chapter on embodiment, one of the things I talk about is having awareness of an energetic boundary, where this is my emotions, this is my stuff, my energy, and outside of that boundary is other people's stuff, and it doesn't belong inside of mine.
It's going to be such a good read. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we want to learn more about your book, Awakening from Anxiety.